Danger in the Desert. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1870. The Earl of Hillingwood climbed out of his carriage outside White's Club in St. James's Street and walked up the steps. The club porter was standing by the door, and he bowed politely and greeted him. "Good morning, Your Lordship. It's very nice to see you back at the club." "I am very delighted to be here, Jasper," the Earl replied. "London seems at its best this time of the year." He did not wait for the porter to say anything more, but walked straight into the coffee room. As it was fairly early in the day, there were only a few members sitting around talking to each other. The Earl walked almost to the far end of the room, where he found his habitual seat, and then settled himself comfortably into it. He had not been there for more than a few minutes when he was joined by his old friend, Lord Waverston, who called out as he reached him, "You are always over-punctual, Edward, and now you will tell me that I am late." The Earl laughed and countered, "No, but as you say, I am somewhat over-punctual, and you are exactly on time." "I was wondering when I heard from you," Lord Waverton said, "why you were coming to London, when I'm sure that your garden has never looked more beautiful in the spring, and your horses are doubtless running faster than ever?" The Earl laughed again. "I want to see you, Arthur," he began slowly, "on a matter that deeply concerns me, and I think also concerns you." Lord Waverston looked surprised, but he merely settled down in a seat next to his friend and signalled to a steward. When the man reached him, he ordered a large pot of coffee. "You are very abstemious," the Lord remarked. "Is this a new departure?" "No, no, it's only a precaution," his friend replied. "I have to go to a large luncheon party today, and if I start drinking now, I will undoubtedly feel ill this evening, when I have yet another party to attend." The Earl smiled. "You have always been the same, but I am quite certain that if you are making a speech at both events, you will undoubtedly have to pay for what you eat and what you drink." "That, unfortunately, is the truth," Lord Waverston replied. "The trouble is that people today are too lazy to find other performers, so I am continually in demand." "Well, now you're being over-modest," the Earl chided. "You know as well as I do that no one speaks better than you in the House of Lords. As Queen Victoria said to me the other day, you have a presence which, in her opinion, most of the young men lack." "Well, I am delighted to accept the compliment. Now tell me, Edward, why you have asked me here to meet you. I have a feeling, although I'm not sure, that something may well be wrong." "Not wrong, but I have been considering for a long time, as I think you know, that it is absolutely essential that Royden, my one and only son and heir, should get married. So I have decided that you are the only person who can help me." Lord Waverston looked at him in bewilderment, but he then merely asked of his old friend, "In what way?" As if he had not spoken, the Earl went on, "Royden is now 28, and, as I have pointed out continually, it is time he married and settled down and produced an heir. In fact, several of them." Lord Waverston had heard this before. "I know your feelings on this matter," he replied, "but Royden is a great success in the social world, and his affairs de cour seldom last very long, as he much prefers to move from beauty to beauty, well, as if he was a honeybee." He paused for a moment before he continued. "The husbands go fishing or look the other way, and Royden can then add another triumph to his considerable collection." There was a distinct touch of humour in Lord Waverston's voice as he spoke, but the Earl did not even smile. He only parried, "Let me be frank with you, Arthur. I am not as well as I used to be, and I am determined to make sure that my family tree does not end abruptly, as it might easily do." "My dear Edward, I'm sure that you are talking nonsense," Lord Waverston said. "You are a very healthy man."